Wellington, Tasmania, and welcome to Behind the Lights with me, Seb.
And me, Jono.
As always, we pay respect to traditional custodians of the land we're coming from, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Well, Jono, before we get on to one of the, I guess, great Australian sporting moments in regards to Tasmanian jack jumpers, what were some of your other highlights from the sporting week that's been?
Yeah, look, for me, I think I'm starting right in college basketball in America. Look, personally, not a crazy fan where I'm going absolutely nuts for March Madness, but I do love it as well because it just essentially brings that madness of a cup kind of thing. But for both the men's and women's, we're wrapping up and going into the Final Four and everything like that, which is great to see. On the women's side, it's a little bit more predictable in terms of the Elite Eight had all those kind of number one seeds and everything like that. On the men's side, of course, a little bit of chaos. So wrapping up in the Final Four, there is at least still two number one seeds, each on one side with Purdue and UConn. But then as well, 11th ranked NC State kind of getting up there as well, which I think is fantastic to see. So we'll see how it all rounds up. Nextly as well, Mallory Swanson coming back from injury and scoring her first goal in the NWSL over there in America, which I think is a great sign for the United States women's team going into what is going to be a very, very tough group in the Olympics. Absolutely. As well. So that's really good sign to kind of have her back. And then lastly, to round it out, still on the footballing pitch, the old man himself, Cristiano Ronaldo. Doesn't matter what league he is, he's still scoring hat-tricks. He scored his 64th career hat-trick, which, look, no matter what league it is or anything like that, it's still pretty amazing that he's still scoring at that level and everything as well.
Yeah, no, still a pretty incredible achievement by Mr. Ronaldo. For me, John, at number one, we'll start on the football world. Top of the table, Premier League clash between Manchester City and Arsenal ended in a 0-0 draw. Pretty tight match, meaning Liverpool are now sitting 2 points ahead at the top of the table. So a huge clash there. And then obviously Liverpool taking advantage of both City and Arsenal dropping points. Number two, Australian Tim Zhu unfortunately losing his world title fight against Sebastian Fundora in Las Vegas after losing in a split decision after 12 pulsating rounds, where Zhu's eyebrow and eye was actually cut by an elbow from Fundora, and he was struggling to see most of the fight. So quite amazing that he was able to keep it so close. It was Zhu's first loss as Fundora became the new WBO and WBC super welterweight champion. And number three, Jono, a weekend of Easter upsets in the NRL and AFL. St. George defeated my Manly, while the West Tigers had a thrilling victory over Parramatta. And Richmond beat the undefeated Sydney Swans in the AFL. So a few good results there for some teams that desperately needed a win in both the NRL and AFL. Well, Jono, though, I guess the biggest sporting story, especially in Australia, to come out of the weekend was the NBL Championship, which concluded with a fifth and deciding game between Melbourne United and the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers. And the Jack Jumpers won a thrilling decider, 83-81. Their first NBL championship for Jack Jumpers in only their third year. With a man we've had on this podcast, Jordan Crawford, starring with 32 points, including 27 in the first half. And third game hero, Jack McVeigh, won the finals MVP. Before we go into a little bit around the Jack Jumpers, Jono, and the incredible season they have had, what did you make of this fifth and deciding game and the series overall, and for the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers to beat a Melbourne United team we know who have been probably the team to beat all year, to do it in Melbourne? What an incredible moment for this club and this franchise, and an amazing moment probably for the NBL as well.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I mean, you look at the series as a whole, I think it was a great series. Pretty tight games all but that first one. Realistically, we're very down to the wire, especially for the last couple as well. We're talking about a few points there kind of splitting. Overall, I think it's really good, right? I mean, you look at it from a perspective of basketball in this country, I think it gave a little bit of oomph to everything. I think it's right at a good time as well. It kind of lines up, as I said, with people who just love basketball as well. With March Madness going on in America, as well as the winding down the NBA, it kind of gives people a little bit more more to look forward to and everything like that. So to kind of have those games kind of wrapping up the evening and everything after a day of kind of keeping an eye on what's happening in America and having it at that level as well, where it wasn't just a blowout series or anything like that, I think was really important. And then as well, to get the Jack Jumpers to finally lift a trophy in the very early stages of their whole development as a club and everything like that, I think it's huge. And I think it's really big because they've almost established itself in a really short period as a really great team in the NBL. And that is great to see for the NBL as well.
What I think they've done so well, John, is connected with the Tasmanian community and in terms of the sporting fraternity down in Tasmania, because we know Tasmania doesn't have a huge amount of sporting teams to follow this. There's a cricket team. They've got the Hurricanes in the Big Bash. And we know where they will be getting an AFL team, but there's no NRL team. Yep. There's no football or soccer team down there at the moment. So the Jack Jumpers have really been able to encapsulate and connect with the community. And we've seen the support down there. It's amazing. Yep. And even yesterday, people out in Tasmania watching on a big screen outside and really supporting the Jack Jumpers all the way. And I think, John, as you said, I think it's really positive for the NBL as a competition in terms of being able to
100%
expand and be really successful with these expansions. I think a few other clubs we know in the AFL with Gold Coast and the Dolphins with the NRL, I think they'd be taking a look at these Jack Jumpers and how have they done it so quickly, but also being able to connect with their community and engage and attract people to their game. So all credit to that, to Jack Jumpers sort of, the owners and everyone involved with that club. In terms of for Tasmanian sport, John, and for Australian sport, do you think this is probably one of the biggest moments we've seen in terms of a franchise that probably wasn't tipped necessarily to achieve something so quickly in only, as I said, the third year?
No, I think, again, it's incredible from a perspective of the Jack Jumpers and what they've been able to build, right? And I think as well, you look at Tasmania as a whole, and I feel like that they've always just had this, it's as if they've had this feeling of always been kind of left to the side when it comes to big sports, big sporting moments and everything like that as well. And that's what I think that this community has really gotten behind. And I think that's helped to also propel the Jack Jumpers to where they are now as well, because they have that base, they have that support through them throughout the whole community and everything like that. And as you said, it was great to see that everybody was in support of this, right? Everybody's out there watching, everybody's in full-fledged support. And then to have that success so early on as well, now what you're doing is you're going to be able to establish these fans for life, right? Yeah. These are fans now who, now we're experiencing the highs and everything like that. But hopefully this has locked them in where they're going to go through the low periods as well, because every club goes through the highs and lows and everything. But to have this success this early, I think is so, so good for Tasmania as a whole. And again, their future is bright in terms of a state, right? I mean, they're potentially on the cusp of getting some more sport and everything like that. And they're showing themselves as a potential sporting hub in terms of that sense too. And maybe they can be a blueprint for a lot of these other clubs that are in that expansions and everything like that across all the codes in Australia as how to have early on success.
Yeah, well, Tasmania, interesting you said that. They almost went out and it was almost them against mainland Australia. Defend the island was one of the main quotes we saw come up all the way through the year. So it was almost, they were them, against those big mainland states which they were playing. Looking at some of the individuals, John, that I guess shone throughout this series and probably throughout the year, looking at Coach Scott Roth, we know he's an American. We know he's had a pretty colourful career in terms of some of the franchises being involved, including the Golden State Warriors. He was assistant coach of the Perth Wildcats in the NBL as well before he became the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers head coach. What have you made of his demeanour throughout the year and the series, and just the way his emotion after the game really showed you how much he's connected with this team and also with the franchise?
Yeah, look, and I think one thing is that what it kind of shows as well is I think maybe his experience as well that he had at Perth actually really came into play here. Of course, all
knowing
his previous,
the league.
Yeah, all his previous experience as well, being an assistant coach across various teams in the NBA, so even like the Toronto Raptors, Golden State, all those teams as well, really come to play in this situation. But then understanding the league, I think, is so important, especially when you're taking on a leadership role on a brand new team. I think that's what really showed here as well. He had success with Perth, being an assistant as well.
Yep.
And then what this has shown is, okay, he saw how to be successful in the league, and he took that
he
as
a blueprint.
He knows
what makes a successful team.
Exactly, exactly. And he did it right, clearly, right? He brought in the right people. He coached them in a way that were able to get the best out of them in all different games as well. So credit to him, because he did it the right way. And look, he was patient. And clearly, look, he's had a long coaching career and everything like that, a long playing career as well, in terms of very, very different teams and in different leagues and everything like that. But maybe this is just the start to really show that he can be very, very successful in the NBL. And I think it's great to see, and hopefully motivates the next generations as well of coaches as well to see and take from him as to how he handled himself here.
Another star signing for the Jack Jumpers has been Jordan Crawford, who we had on this particular show, and we sort of chatted with him in regards to some of the struggles he's had to overcome to be able to pursue his career in professional basketball. And I don't think too many people knew of him when he landed on the Jack Jumpers' shores and sort of suited up this year. And obviously, his height, yeah. A huge thing in the NBL. He's probably one of the shortest players we've ever seen in the NBL. But just his ability to be able to deliver in that fifth game, he'd been a little bit down on form. He'd probably even say it himself in regards to some of the other finals games coming up to that fifth game. But the way he exploded in that first half just shows you the value of him. And how valuable, Jono, do you think it is that Jack Jumpers keep him for next year?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's going to be the key. And as you said as well, you look at in this final game, I mean, it was huge in that first half, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you need. You need a jolt sometimes, right? Yeah. And he especially was able to put
enemy
that
territory in front of a parochial Melbourne crowd.
And I think maybe even his experiences as well and everything like that was able to make him where he didn't have those nerves and everything like that and was able to stand up to that. But I think that was absolutely huge. And I think throughout the season as well, he's proven himself as one of the best in the whole league and everything time and time again. And just the way that he's able to facilitate on the court as well as just knock down the big shots and everything like that and be there in the big moments. I think it is going to be crucial for them to look at how to keep him here moving forward because, they've had some great success. They have such a good core, the whole Jack Jumpers core that they have right now, that they need to really look at how are they going to keep this core moving forward.
Well, I think if other new franchises were looking at the Jack Jumpers as a bit of a way to do it, a bit of a blueprint in regards to success. I think recruitment has been such a massive factor for the Jack. They seem to have got that spot on. And not just people that obviously with their basketball ability, but people that buy into that Jack Jumper culture, which they all really seem connected, which obviously helps you be a successful team. Looking next year, Johnny, do you think the Jack Jumpers can be there? Again, they've shown in their 3 years since, they haven't missed the finals.
Yeah.
They've already made and lost an NBL championship, obviously winning it this year. Coming back as defending champions, though, is always a different pressure because now people are going to be looking at them and wanting to beat them. Can the Jack Jumpers, do you think they'll be as successful or just as sort of competitive next year?
Yeah, look, I think that they'll be one of the better teams in the league, but it just kind of depends. That's a whole nother ball game in terms of pressure moving forward. It's very different being the new kid on the block to now being the defending
champs.
They're
known now.
Yeah, so look, if they're going to be able to make another finals, grand finals run, that'd be fantastic. Look, I see them, though, being at least one of the better teams in the league. Even if they have some players leave or something like that, I still see them. They have a strong core. So as long as they keep a majority of them, they'll at least be one of the better teams in the league.
Well, hopefully the Jack Jumpers aren't even thinking about next year already. Hopefully they're enjoying this success and with all their fans and obviously all those players and families. They really deserve it. So congratulations to the Jack Jumpers and the team. Before we go to the five quick questions, John, I just wanted to get your opinion on another, I guess, big headline out of the European football scene during the week. Bayer Leverkusen head coach Xavi Alonso has said he will stay with Bayer Leverkusen next season. What have you made of the decision? And do you actually applaud him for not, jumping at the chance of a possible Liverpool, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, and actually staying at Bayer Leverkusen, building on what they've done? They look like they're going to win the Bundesliga now, 13 points ahead, Champions League football next season. What have you made of his decision?
Yeah, I mean, one, look at what it meant to the fans, right?
Absolutely.
First and foremost, the way that they...
And some of those young players that he's also brought through.
Like, the fans just absolutely embrace that and just absolutely love that. And I think that, from his perspective, this is great. This is what I want to see more in the game, right? I don't always love the whole aspect. It works in both ways, right? It works in either sacking a coach right away, and it works in terms of a coach having some success somewhere and then just jumping ship, right? So I love to see this, that he's actually said, hey, I've been able to build something really, really good here. And you know what? I'm not just going to be a one-hit wonder here. I'm gonna try and back it up and take my successes again, and let's see how we do. And who knows? Maybe he can truly build something that then maybe he's here for a couple of years, right?
Exactly.
That we see him building something, and maybe they're now going to be one of the teams to beat, not just in Germany, but across Europe as well. I 100% support this. I think it's great. I think we need to see more of it as well. We don't see enough of it. I think, again, it's from both sides. We don't see enough of coaches and managers staying true to their teams when they have successes, as well as the club staying true to the manager when they are on a down spiral as well.
No, I actually applaud his decision as well. He's still a young coach. He's still learning his craft. Obviously, he's had super success this year, and Bayer Leverkusen may end the season undefeated. It's unbelievable they still haven't lost a game in any competition, which is quite amazing. So I applaud him, and it'll be great to see Alonso coaching. Hopefully, he'll be able to keep most of these these especially young, exciting German players for next year's Champions League tour and really see them how test themselves against the very best in Europe.
100%. And I think, again, it, like, you look back at all these big coaching names and everything like that, especially ex-players, and there's not many who have that success year on year and year, like a Zidane or something like that, where he goes into a big job and has that success, right? So this is a great opportunity for him to prove himself again, right? To prove that, yeah, he can win consistently and everything like that, and he doesn't need the star power to be able to win. And then when he does have that star power and everything like that, that then he's able to manage that as well. So because we've seen it so, I feel like, so often in terms of, you know, you bring in these big names and things like that. Yeah, maybe they have an okay year. Don't get me wrong, it's a very successful year this year in comparison to, I think, what we're used to seeing. But they have a good year, then they move to a big club or something like that, and then just
flashed out.
It just goes so wrong. Yeah. So from Potter,
from Brighton to Chelsea, we've seen there's been countless examples. Oh,
it's just ridiculous. And I think for him as well, look, it just shows that he's building something and he wants to build something. And that's great. Build something, right? Build something around the success that you've already had, and see what the future has in store for you. And look, if you can be a giant slayer, that would be even sweeter as well, right? If you go and you stay with them for a couple of years and you go down and you take down some of the big teams, fantastic. You'll go down even more as a coaching legend than you already are right now.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good decision. I applaud Alonso, and I'm excited to see what him and his Bayer Leverkusen team, obviously, finish out this year, but excited to see what they do in the Champions League next year. Well, as always, John, we'll end with five quick questions. I've got you this week.
Let's do it.
Let's go, mate. All right, number one. So off that, I guess, the big game between City and Arsenal, do you now make Liverpool the favourites for the English Premier League? They're favourites with the bookies, but who do you think is the favourite now? Or has it changed anything in your mind?
Yeah, look, I don't know if it's changed too much, just because, look, to be honest, I haven't looked too forward into each one of their individual schedules and everything. I think that's going to be the more important thing. Who has the bigger clashes and everything like that? I'd still, you know, kind of put them in a level playing field, because I think Liverpool is going to have a slip up or two as well. And not that a draw is a slip up or anything like that as well. So I wouldn't tip them as out and out favourites as of yet.
Well, a couple of big clashes this week. City play Villa, and Liverpool play at Manchester United next weekend. We know what United did in the FA Cup.
Yeah, but is United really a big clash?
The other club that I think could have a say in this is Tottenham, because Tottenham will still have to play Arsenal. They still have to play Liverpool.
They got your favourite Ange.
So there's still a couple of big games to come. And this, what we've seen with this title fight is that it's every week you're not sure, and potential of teams dropping points. So it is exciting. Number two, Jono, would you like to see a rematch between Zou and Fundoro? I think it is already in the contract. Yeah. Would you like to see that?
100%. 100%.
Actually, I think Zou deserves a rematch as well.
And it's an exciting fight, and we need to see more of those exciting fights and everything like that. 100%. Why wouldn't you take advantage of something that is actually going to draw up that much attention as well in a second time?
Great for boxing as well. Boxing needed something like that. Number three, Jono, looking at the Xabi Alonso decision, despite Alonso's decision to stay at Leverkusen, do you still see him leaving eventually for a bigger club?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think eventually it's going to happen. But I see him, if he has another good year, I actually see him potentially staying for another, like, 2 years or so and trying to do something there and changing. I think it'd be so good to change the narrative in Germany. It's no longer Bayern Munich.
It's already changed
all the time.
It this year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it would be so, I think that would go down as almost a bigger achievement than, let's say, moving to a different club. Like, let's say if you move to a Real Madrid, a Barcelona, a City, a Liverpool, whoever it is, and then winning a Champions League or something like that, it'd be almost bigger to then consistently change the narrative over in Germany and the Bundesliga.
No, I think that will buy me, 11 years or something. It's something ridiculous in a row. So it's great this year seeing someone else other than Bayern winning that one. Number four, Jono, Ipswich Town currently lead the Championship, so the league under the Premier League in England, by 1 point ahead of Leeds, who are 1 point ahead of Leicester. Who is your money on to take the two automatic promotion spot? It is a thrilling race in the Championship.
Oh, it's huge.
Leicester have all of a sudden fallen apart.
I know. And I think the thing is, as well, is like,
but they do have a game in hand, Leicester. That's one thing.
I mean, look, I actually tip Leicester still. I think they're a
good
team. Who do
you think will join them?
Oh, it's so hard, because you look at both teams are so, they're just pushing. Leeds maybe has that bigger kind of base that maybe is going to rally them. And I think maybe just for that slight bit there in terms of the base that they're going to have to rally against them, I'll give Leeds a slight edge.
But, oh, man, it's coming down.
If anyone hasn't watched the championship this year, tune in for these last two rounds because you've got a relegation battle, you've got the fight to get into the top six for the playoffs, and then obviously the fight to get up to the Premier. It has been a thrilling year in the championship. Number five, Jono, an issue that actually has been discussed in the last week. Should the AFL women's players be subjected to the AFL's illicit drug policy after two Sydney Swans players were banned for two games after being charged by police for possessing illicit substance? Because they're currently not actually under the AFL's illicit drug policy.
Yeah. I mean, look, I guess it's that thing of like, it's as the sport grows and everything like that, and on that side, it's what kind of examples and everything like that that we want to set. So it wouldn't be necessarily a negative thing to kind of make sure that everything is in line and everything like that. So I think it's just going to be a matter of time that, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. And as that league becomes more and more professional, I think obviously they'll more and more align with the AFL. Well, that brings another episode of Behind the Lights with me, Seb.
And me, Jono.
As always, thank you for your support and good night.